All right. Open up your Bibles to Job chapter 3, verse 25. There's an interesting, you know, Job is, I've seen a lot of people, they anchor on Job, and they say, well, life's hard, but it was hard for Job. And I said, but they figured that whole thing lasted for about 9 months. And when it was all done, when all the dust settled, he had more than what he had before, and it was a better quality. But he did give us a hint on what happened in Job chapter 3, verse 25. It says, "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me." Right there, that one verse tells us why everything happened. It wasn't God being mean to him. It wasn't God judging him. Actually, God told Satan, said, "You can do whatever you got to do, just don't kill him." And he still won't curse me. And Job, he made it through that. But he made it through it. But he told us, if you continually worry about something and you continually fret about something, it's going to happen. You know, God doesn't want you to worry. He wants you to be happy. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. We'll get a little foundation here. But Job, he just flat told us what caused his trouble. And it was worry. He had a covenant, you know, he had a covenant with God. And it evidently must have been a good one, because he had a lot of stuff put together. But he got to worrying about his kids. And he thought maybe that they were sinning, you know. So he was continually doing these sacrifices for his kids. He continually worried about them kids, and then pretty soon what he worried about came upon him. But by the time he figured that out, it's too late. But then he repented and he turned to God, and God restored him. But look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye is evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought." Right there is the thing. You need to underline that first few words of this verse. Jesus said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you, or not, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying. There's a key. Take no thought, saying. Thoughts will come and go. Sometimes these thoughts may even be stubborn. You know, they might keep bombing away at you. But the way you take that thought is to take it personal and then say it. Jesus just said that. Take no thought, saying. That's where most people get. See, it's not a sin to have a thought. And that doesn't even cause the trouble. What causes the trouble is when you act on it, when you start saying it. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So he's sitting there telling you to not take these thoughts. Don't sit there and worry about tomorrow. You know, one thing about people, they're amazing creatures. You know, we get one day. That's all you get. You know, you wake up and the sun's shining on your head, that's your day. You need to make the most out of it. Do whatever you can. Make it a fulfilled day. But people waste their days by worrying about tomorrow and fretting about yesterday. If there's something you can do to fix the wrong that happened yesterday, then fix it and get over with it. But if there's nothing you can do about it, then go on. You just got to. You're wasting your day by worrying about, you know, and people will lay in bed and worry about all this stuff all night long. They worry about what happened yesterday and worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. And then they wonder why they're so tired. And then some of them go bald. They just worry so much they lose their hair. They lose their health. They lose their sanity. You know, doctors have made a fortune off of people's worries. You know, and they give them these pills. Say, here, this will help you. And then they'll work for a little while. It'll mask a symptom. And it'll work for a little while. And then they'll have to up the dosage. Because whatever they have isn't working, isn't covering their worries. You know, people have got to understand that it's an inside thing, that you got to get down to the root, or you're never going to get rid of the fruit. Whatever I did to that lawn, if you could do that to your worries, you got it. Don't be over anxious or fretful about anything. Look at verse 19 again. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, how are you going to not worry about that? You know, I was working with a guy one time. He was a truck driver, and we were both driving a truck. And I said, what are you doing out here? And he said, I was supposed to be retired. I said, but when Obama got elected, my pension, my retirement just disappeared. It was gone. You know how many times I heard that? I knew a guy that was going to buy a ranch. He was going to sell his stocks, and he's going to buy a ranch. And all of a sudden, that thing went bust, and he had to keep working. What was going on? They were laying up their treasures on earth in this financial system that is not backed by God. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And we're going to see what to do. You know, it's one thing to just say, don't worry, be happy. But if you don't have anything to anchor that, you're going to worry and you're not going to be happy. But Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's the result. You know, this is something that you can anchor your soul to. And I'm talking about your soul. That's where you do your worrying. That's where you do your best fretting. You know, you need an anchor for your soul. That's the Word of God. There's one right there. You know, what are we going to do about tomorrow? You're going to trust God. He said he has met all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yeah. He's going to make sure that you're okay. He's going to make sure that you have food to eat and clothing to wear and shelter. You know, you're not a sparrow and you're not a Gentile. He's going to take much better care of you than that. You need to really quit worrying. It is sinful and it promotes fear. It is a disease, that causes other ills. Go back over to Matthew chapter 6 and look at verse 22. It says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know, James chapter 1, verse 5 is our New Testament answer. You know, Jesus was teaching us some lessons in there, but you realize that the New Testament doesn't start until after the cross. So let's find something from after the cross. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, we deal with double-minded men all the time. You know, there's a lot of them in the church. They're Christians. You know, they're shouting hallelujah in church, and then they get out in the world, and it's like all that stuff in the church, all that word of faith stuff just slips. Now we're afraid again. And now we're talking about being broke, we're talking about being sick, talking about all this stuff. And what you did was you just ruined your day. You know, and you keep piling those up, and you got a whole bunch of yesterdays that you're worrying about even more. And because he has so many unsuccessful yesterdays, the fear of tomorrow gets even greater. When you could have just relaxed and enjoyed your day and turned it over to God. Look at, since we're there, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Since we're real close. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You know, there's several places in the Bible that tells us that the just shall live by faith. You know, when you get born again, you get justified freely by grace. That means you're the just. You've been told to live by faith. So the way to do that is to see Jesus in his grace and see these things that he did for you on his cross in his death, burial, and resurrection. Get a hold of these new creation realities and just believe God. See, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. But you really, really need to quit worrying. You're borrowing trouble that you cannot pay back. I liked what Keith Jarrett had to say. He said he lived through some terrible, terrible events, 90% of which only happened in his mind. You know, people have a way of making things worse than what they really are. Through the eyes of faith, something that seems really big actually turns into a pretty small thing. You know, you're brooding over what may not even happen. You know, there's a lot of things that people worry about that don't even happen. There's a lot of things that people worry about. It just wastes their time, it wastes their energy, and it wastes their life. You're creating trouble, misery, and death. You know, when you sit there and continually worry about something, just like it happened to Job, it will come on you. You know, well, I don't want it to happen. I know you don't want it to happen, but if you keep worrying about it, you're going to attract it. See, there's something about the spirit world where if you worry about something, it causes you to get into fear, and it'll actually open portals up where spirits can actually work in your life and cause what you fear to come to pass. But I don't want it to happen. Well, it's God. And keep that worry from happening. Well, I get paid to worry. Then you're a fool. I remember I seen that in a movie one time. And I picked that up. And I was running a company. And somebody said, you don't have anything to worry about. And I said, no, I get paid to worry. You know, now I look back on it and say, how stupid was that? Now go back over to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 27. You know, I just got to share this. My dad... He had this way of not worrying. And one time, there was a storm blew in, and we had great big pine trees out there by the house. I mean, these were big ones. And it looked like these things were about ready to just get uprooted or snap. And I thought, man, and this trailer house was rocking, and the windows were rolling, and I thought, hey, we got to do something. And he said, just what do you think you're going to do? And he was just kicked back in his easy chair, smoking a cigarette and having a cup of coffee. And I said, "Well, I don't know." And he said, "Then you need to just relax." And he said, "How can you relax?" I said, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" I said, "Well, there's nothing I can do about it." I said, "Then you need to just sit down and relax." Okay. You know, storms of life, if you can't change something, you know, physically, you just get in faith and let God change it. Get in the Word and let Him change it. It's usually not as big and drastic as what you've made it out in your mind to be. You know, but the world has a way of feeding fear to people. You know, they do it on TV, they do it on the internet, they do it in the newspaper, the neighbors do it, you know, and they just try to strike fear in people's heart. And it's not necessary for Christians to buy into it, but the number of Christians that have bought into the latest fear thing, you know, they're afraid because somebody told them to be afraid. And that's just stupid. You listen to the devil and you bought into fear. You had no business being afraid of the COVID bug. None. But that's the thing. They sold it and people bought it. And now they got to deal with it. Look at verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat." Now here's one thing. Take no thought for your life. What happens if you die? What happens if you just checked out, walked out in the street, got ran over by that moped that comes by the house every day, and took your last breath? What would happen? Well, you'd be in the presence of Jesus immediately. How bad could that be? I mean, honestly, how bad could that be? Not too bad. So, you really don't have anything to be afraid of. He said, "Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature?" Literally, which of you by taking thought, by worrying about something, can change anything? Action changes stuff. So in order to take action, you have to get in faith. But literally, quit worrying. It's a grave digger that it has no sympathy. You know, people worry themselves. People really do worry themselves sick. They worry until they physically break down. It's needless and it wastes time and effort that should be spent on worthwhile things. It's a robber of faith and peace and trust in a never-failing Heavenly Father. You know, sometimes if people would just stop and say, you know, God has never failed me before. You know, if you look back in your past and think about all the life-ending events, you know, we always come into this thing, this is like the end of the road. We're not going to make it. We can't survive this. You know, we can't make it through this. You know, how many challenges we run into at different times, you know, where, man, like, what are we going to do? This is terrible. This is the end of the road. And if you just stop and think about all those things that God has brought you through, you'd realize that He has a 100% track record of bringing you through terrible events. If He'd get a little cooperation out of us, we'd go through these things a lot smoother. You know, it's just take a little time to just relax and think about how good God is. And think about how good He is at handling all these life-ending events. Look at verse 29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Literally, quit worrying. It's a stumbling block. It's a stumbling block to others. You know, other people pick up on other people's worries and their fears. It's a disgrace to God, and it should never be indulged in by Christians. Anxiety over what is nothing today and even less tomorrow in the eyes of faith. You know, these big challenges, when we'll look at them from our true position, seated at the right hand of God, it's just a thing. It's just a thing. And when you're focused on God, when you're looking at Jesus, you're going to walk through this. But if you get to looking at the wind and the waves, look at all the challenges and everything that's wrong. Man, I knew my cousin's best friend's sister. She ran into this problem and she didn't make it. You can't let somebody else's experience define your reality. It doesn't matter what anybody else experienced. The only thing that matters is what God said He would do for you when you focus on Him. Amen? Well, thank You, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that You do for us. We thank You for everything that He does as our high priest, as He takes our prayers and makes them perfect for us in Your presence. We thank You for everything that He has done for us in His death, burial, and resurrection, and His passion. Father, we thank You for Your multiplied grace and blessings and favor that You poured out on us because of the blood of Jesus. And we thank You for this in so many ways. Father, we're so grateful for everything that You do for us, taking care of us and watching over us and guiding us and teaching us. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.